Okay. Turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Last couple of weeks we looked at salvation. Different aspects of salvation. It can mean saved, to be born again. It can mean deliverance, preservation, rescue. And then, of course, at the end of when the Lord comes back, it means we get that total salvation and we're ever with the Lord. But along with that is another thing, and we're going to look at it, and it also has several different aspects to it, and that is the peace of God. And all the church epistles and many of the other epistles start off where God speaks about or says unto the church, grace and peace. So we're going to look at chapter 1. It says, Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sosthenes, our brother, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. That includes us, doesn't it? Yeah. All that call upon the name of Jesus Christ. And it says, grace unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. So here, God's desire and his wish for the believers, us, is grace and peace. And peace would be a state of health or well-being, undisturbed well-being, because of God's favor and forgiveness. He wants us to be at peace. And that's his desire for his people. He would like peace within the church. He would like peace in our individual lives, and so on and so forth. So now I want you to go to chapter 2 Corinthians 13. And it says, finally, brethren, chapter 13, verse 11, finally, brethren. Finally means, you know, this is the last thing I want to say to you. Farewell. Be perfect. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind. Live in peace, and the God of love and peace shall be with you. There's numerous places in the Word, at least four or five, where God is called the God of peace. Jesus Christ is called the Prince of Peace. So it's an attribute of God. It's part of God. And he is a God of love and peace. He invented peace. He's the designer of peace. So that's pretty good. But peace has many aspects. And so we're going to go to chapter 5 of Romans. So we know that God desires peace for us. He wants us to have peace in our lives. He wants the church to be at peace. It's kind of interesting because Jesus Christ in the Gospels told people, you know, there's always going to be wars and rumors of wars, which is true in the world. You know, there's not going to be world peace till he comes back and rules, as much as we would like there to be. But chapter 5, verse 1, it says, therefore, being justified by faith, and that refers back to all the stuff it says in chapters 3 and 4 about what Jesus Christ did for us, how we're baptized with him, buried with him, raised with him, and all the other stuff. We're made righteous. We're sanctified. We have the seal of righteousness. It says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have peace with God by way of Jesus Christ, because Jesus Christ paid the full and complete price for us when he was crucified and died. He shed his perfect blood. He paid the full price for sin and sin nature. He paid the full price for all that we ever did and ever will do. He was the perfect sacrifice.
Amen.
So, there's no strife between us and God. There's no enmity. There's nothing that stands in the way between us and God, except whatever we would put there. But as far as God's concerned, everything is good. Everything's been taken care of. We have full access to the throne of grace. So, and it's because of Jesus Christ's accomplishments. He paid the full price, right? There's nothing between us and him. Full restitution has been made. It's pretty great. But, because of what Jesus Christ did, we have peace. But, that doesn't necessarily mean that we lead a peaceful life. Nor does it mean that we have peace in our life. It just doesn't. Because that requires something else. That requires, number one, that we adhere to God's word and look to God in different situations, and that we allow his peace in our life. It's up to us to live peacefully and have peace personally. And then we would also be the ones that keep peace within the church and among believers. And we would also bring peace to other people if they would allow us to speak God's word to them. So let's go to Romans chapter 8, a couple of pages over. It's an amazing chapter in God's word, and you could spend half your life just studying this chapter probably. But it says in verse 1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus.
Oh, glory to God.
Who walk not after the flesh. And then the rest of that verse is omitted. It's not in the text. But there is no condemnation. That word condemnation means there is no sentence of death. That's pretty great, because before there was a sentence of death. You know, if you're not born again and you don't believe, then you face that sentence of death. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. You know, the Old Testament's pretty interesting. There's some pretty interesting things in there. But one part in Deuteronomy, for instance, there's two sections. It's called, one section is called the section of blessings and the section of cursings. You know, and so if you do this, you get the blessings. But if you don't do this, you get the cursings, which is, you know, at least you know where you stand. But in the New Testament, it doesn't say anything about cursings, does it? It says a lot about blessings. It says we're blessed with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly realm. But there's no cursings. It says here, the law of the Spirit of life from Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. Does that mean that we never sin? No, we sin because we're people. We make mistakes. We miss the mark. Sometimes we sin and we don't even know it because we're just, you know, unaware of what we're doing, or we don't think about it, or whatever. Then it goes on and says, for the law, what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own son in likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. You know, no matter what we could do, no matter what man could do or Israel could do under the law, they could never fulfill the law completely or perfectly. First of all, because they could never do a perfect sacrifice to atone for the sin and the sin nature. So the priest, the high priest, would continually do sacrifices. They would do a daily sacrifice. They would do a weekly sacrifice. They would do monthly sacrifices. And then they would do sacrifices at the special feast days. And they would do, you know, the sacrifice for sin and atonement once a year. You know, they would do these over and over and over again. And of course, in Hebrews, it tells us the reason they kept doing it was because they kept sinning, and they'd have to keep doing them, and those sins were not perfect. And then it makes the comparison between Jesus Christ and those sacrifices, because his blood was pure and perfect, as opposed to the animals. So, for what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, and we know about the weakness of the flesh, because we live with it our whole life, God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. He condemned sin in the flesh because he was perfect. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. The righteousness of the law was fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. We received God's Holy Spirit. We were sanctified when we got born again. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. And that means, you know, those that are after the flesh, they think about fleshly things. They think fleshly thoughts. But they that are after the Spirit, you know, who are spiritually minded, think about spiritual things. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life, and it's peace. So when we think upon spiritual things, it is peaceful. It helps keep us peaceful. It is life, and it is peace. That's pretty great. So that's something that we can do. Here it contrasts flesh and spirit. And, you know, the senses are deceitful. The desires of the flesh are deceitful. We are to think in terms of the new birth in all its totality. We're to think on the spiritual things, the things of God. We're to pray in the Spirit as well as with our understanding. We're to do all those things. And when we keep spiritual things in our minds, when we have that spiritual life and vital and alive, then we are peaceful. Let's go to Galatians chapter 6. Romans, Corinthians, Galatians. You know, one of the reasons Galatians was written was because Paul had gone to Galatia. It talks about the churches of Galatia. It's a region. It's not a city like Ephesus was a city, or Thessalonica or Philippi. And it's written to the churches of Galatia. But what happened was Paul and his companions went through that area and they spoke the word and people got born again. And there were churches or groups of believers that got together and they were living the word. And then the believers, or some of the people of Jerusalem went up there who may have been born again, but they still thought you had to live according to the law. Mm-hmm. And so one of the things they were pushing or promoting was that you had to be circumcised.
Mixing it.
You had to be circumcised or you couldn't be really saved or fully saved or something like that, and that you had to adhere to the law. Well, we just saw that we are free from the law of sin and death. And that's really what the law of Moses was all about. It was about the sin and about death and the coming Messiah who was to save us from the law of sin and death. So here in chapter 12, it says, as many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised. They wanted to show how religious and how good they were. They wanted to make a fair show in the flesh. Remember Jesus Christ confronting the Pharisees because they liked to make flowery prayers in public. And they would count their steps on the Sabbath day. And they would do all these things down to the minutest detail of the law. And they would even make stuff up to make it even more difficult to show how godly they were and how spiritual they were, but it was all in the flesh. But then Jesus Christ said, you ignore the mightier things, the more important things, like to be just and fair and equitable and to love God and help people. So here it says they desire to make a show in the flesh. They constrain you. You know, they compel you to be circumcised, only lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. For neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the law, but desire to have you circumcised that they may glory in your flesh. You know, and that's what happens, and that's what they did in Israel. They gloried in the flesh. You know, wow, look at me, I'm really religious. I stay on my knees for hours praying, and you know, and then that's what happened later on in the church. You know, when you got all these monasteries, and you know, these guys became ascetics, and they would beat themselves, and they would torture themselves to show how holy they were. It was glorying in the flesh. Sounds kind of crazy to us, but that's what people did, and it started way back here in the first century. For neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the law, but desire to have you circumcised that they may glory in your flesh. But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world. You know, we're to glory in the accomplishments of Jesus Christ. We're to glory in what God has done for us through Jesus Christ. We're to glory in all that God has made us. We're to glory in how Jesus Christ was obedient even unto the death of the cross, and how God resurrected him from the dead. We're to glory in that. We're not to glory in what we do in the flesh. Verse 15, for in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but a new creation. It says new creature, but it's new creation. New creation is Christ in you, the hope of glory. You have Holy Spirit. We can glory in that. Verse 16, and as many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them and mercy upon the Israel of God. And God says the Israel of God are those that believe. Right? Is that Abraham, he calls us the children of Abraham because we're children of believing. And the Israel of God is really the ones who believe. Not the ones of the bloodline, but spiritually, who are in alignment and harmony with God, who believe in Jesus Christ, who walk according to believing. It's pretty great. Let's go back to chapter 5. So our standard is not the flesh, but the accomplishments of Jesus Christ. And when we look upon those things, we have peace, or we have access to peace. We can have that peace in our life. Chapter 5, verse 19, it talks about, it says, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. And it has a great list there of wonderful things to do. You know, adultery, fornication, uncleanness, so on and so forth. Envyings, murders, blah, blah, blah. But in contrast to the works of the flesh, that's a pretty emphatic but. Should be, you could put it in capital letters, bold, underlined it, put a star next to it. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And you know, that is a figure of speech there. It's the figure of speech, asyndeton. It's a listing of things. There's nine things there, right? Joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. I guess, yeah, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. There's no ands there. And so the emphasis is on the list as a whole. You know, they're all together. And that's the fruit of the Spirit. That's what we produce as we walk spiritually. When we manifest Holy Spirit, when we think about and glory in what Jesus Christ accomplished for us, who we are in Christ Jesus, what we have in Christ Jesus, then we produce those things in our lives. And one of the things that we produce is peace. Yeah. How much do people pay for in their life to have a little peace? They pay a lot. People pursue it their whole lives and never get it. But we can have it, and we should have it. And we have peace with God. There's nothing between us and God. We have full access to God. We can go before His throne of grace with all boldness. He holds nothing against us. We're holy and beloved in His sight. We're unreprovable in His sight. And it goes on and on and on and tells us all those things. But for us to have peace, to live with peace in our life, we have to do something. We have to renew our minds to what God has done for us. We have to think spiritually. We have to think about spiritual things. It's pretty great. And we produce that peace, that joy, that love in our life when we think upon these things, when we walk with a spiritual mind, when we hold fast to God's word, when we manifest, when we pray in the Spirit, all those things. So, and we have to renew our minds to that. That's how we do it. We put on a new form in our mind, right? We start thinking about those things. And when we do, we can have that inner serenity, that peace. You know, the world is crazy. And the world would very much like to steal your peace, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
I'd like to rob that peace that God makes available. I'd like to rob your joy, the love, all those things that God gives us, the world would like to steal. The devil would just like to rip them out of your life. But you don't allow it. Let's go to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, verse 10. It says in verse 9, put off the old man with his deeds. That's, you know, the old man. Not your husband, but the old man, or your father, but the old man. And have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free. But Christ is all and in all. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy. That means compassion. We're to put on compassion. And the word put on is like, it's the same word that would describe putting on clothing. You know, if you put on a robe or a shirt or whatever. It's to put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. You know, it's sometimes we carry things around. Well, that doesn't help your peace, does it?
No.
When you are bitter towards somebody, that doesn't help your peace. When you think somebody's done wrong by you, that doesn't help your peace. You know, so either forgive them or forget it, but move on, because you're not going to be peaceful. You're not going to have that joy in your heart when you're carrying things around like that. Even as Christ forgive you, so also do you. And above all these things, put on charity, the love of God, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you're called in one body, and be thankful. So it says here that we are to let, which means to what? Allow. Allow the peace of God to rule in your hearts. Rule means to have dominion. You know, when you're fighting about something in your mind because you think somebody wasn't fair with you or honest with you or they insulted you or any of that stuff, you're just not going to have peace. And it says that we are to allow the peace of God to rule in our hearts. And if the peace of God rules in our hearts, then we're going to put things behind us and we're going to move ahead. and we're to be thankful. You know, we're just to be thankful. When we're at peace, we're thankful. Pretty great. Let's go back to Philippians chapter 4. Chapter 4. It says, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. That's a pretty good thing to do. Chapter 4, verse 4. Verse 5, let your moderation be known unto all men, the Lord is at hand, or he's near. Be careful for nothing. Be anxious for nothing. If you're anxious, probably not peaceful. God's word says, be anxious for how much?
Nothing.
Nothing, not for anything. We're not to be anxious about anything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now, it does require us to do something, doesn't it?
You have to let it.
Yeah, you have to allow it. And it says here that we're to give everything to God by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. And then the peace of God will come. Let's go to Psalm 29. Look at a couple of quick verses regarding peace. Psalm 29. And verse 11, it says, the Lord, Jehovah, will give strength unto his people, and the Lord, Jehovah, will bless his people with peace. And peace is a blessing, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, people pray for peace and would love to have that peace, and yet they don't. They let it get stolen from them. They let it get taken away from them. They don't control their mind. They don't take things to God and lay it at his feet. Let's go to Psalm 119. So, the Lord will bless his people with peace. Psalm 119. And verse 165. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. You know, the older I get, the tougher it is to offend me.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, I just don't have time to be offended. And sometimes I'm amazed at what people get offended by. The world tries to make us really sensitive in the wrong way, you know, and so then we get personally offended by things. And, you know, I don't think any believer, anybody that I know, would really try to offend me on purpose. You know, they may do something stupid. I may do something stupid. Ask my wife. But, you know, never to personally offend somebody on purpose. And I don't think anybody in here or anybody that I know ever really does that. They just, you know, sometimes we just are stupid, or we don't think what we're doing.
That's
or
right.
We don't, or it's not offensive to us, so we don't think it would be offensive to anybody else.
Yeah.
But you know what? If somebody does offend you with something, you know what? Just go up to them and say, that doesn't really bless me. That doesn't help me. And I'd appreciate if you
would be
a little more careful about using that term or that term of reference or whatever. Because, you know, sometimes there's certain things that sometimes people are really sensitive about. But if you are, you know, just be honest and tell somebody. They didn't do it probably to hurt you, and they didn't do it on purpose. So get it over with and move on.
Right.
You know? It's amazing how many people get offended and hold it and you know, and don't tell you, and then it eats them alive. It's just crazy. You know, if you do that in your marriage, how long will your marriage last?
Not long.
You know, you got to get it out. You got to clear the air. You got to take care of things. So anyway, let's go to James. That was my sermon for the day. James 3. James is such an interesting book, and it says so many interesting things. Okay, chapter 3, verse 16. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. You know, where strife is and envying, it's not a good thing. It's not a godly attribute. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace for them that make peace. You know, it produces fruit. You know, like it says, you know, the just shall live by faith or believing. Believing unto believing. Here, peace unto peace. You know, if you are promoting peace and you are peaceful, you're going to produce more peace. It's, you know, and you're going to produce the fruit of righteousness. It's a great thing. And let's close in 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 3. Okay, verse 8. Finally, another finally, last of all, be all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren. Be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise, blessing. You know, if somebody gives you a hard time, you know, you're supposed to say, well, I'm sorry, I love you anyway. Move on. Knowing that ye are therefore unto call, that ye should inherit a blessing. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips, that they speak no guile. We used to do a little song with the kids in camp, and we'd hold their tongue and say, you know, don't refrain my lips and my tongue from speaking ill or whatever. It was cute. Anyway. Refrain the tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. You know, we're supposed to speak good things, things of blessing. We're to minister grace unto each other when we speak. Let him eschew evil and do good. What does eschew mean? Yeah. Yeah, you're supposed to reject it. Shun it. Get rid of it. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. We're to seek peace. Now, you know, we have peace. We have inner peace. We have peace with God. And we're to have peace with each other. Right? That's God's desire. Peace with God. Peace with ourselves. Peace with each other. Pretty good. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. And who is he that will harm you if you be followers of that which is good? But if ye suffer for righteous sake, happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. having a good conscience, whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. You know, we're to just sanctify the Lord God's in our heart and be ready to give every man an answer. And that answer is to be the answer that God would have us to give. We're to speak spiritual things, things of the nature of God, you know, and Jesus Christ. We're to promote peace and love and truth, right? But peace is yours. Peace is yours to have. God, we have peace with God. There's nothing between us. Jesus Christ paid the full and complete price. He made total restitution. We can have peace in our hearts and our minds, but we have to allow it. We have to keep it there. And we are to promote peace. And we are to have peace one with another. You know, we're not to be anxious about things. We're not to hold things in. We're not to be offended, and we're not to offend. But we are to be ones that promote peace and live peace and have peace with one another and with God. Okay? So that's a little bit about peace. And it's a great subject. It's a great thing to have in your life, isn't it? So God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for loving us and blessing us and taking care of us. We thank you for what a great and mighty God you are. And we thank you for always helping us to understand and showing us and teaching us. And that if we have a heart to do what's right, God, that you are there, ready, willing, and able. And when we make mistakes, you just cover them up and take care of them. We just thank you, Father, for what a great and mighty God you are. And what a great and loving Son you have. And for all you've done for us through him. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we pray and praise you and thank you. Amen.
Sid, there's a song that goes along with your...